Welcome back to Legacy Builders. And in this episode, we're going to continue with my miracle story by sharing how I literally died and was brought back to life by God's saving grace. That was a wake-up call that day, to say the least. And that experience completely transformed how I viewed my purpose here on earth. Let's dive in.
So, Brian, in this last episode, we talked about how you grew up around entrepreneurship. You grew up seeing your dad and your great-grandpa be entrepreneurs and inventors. And, you know, you learned how to view the world from them. And then you had this life and death experience that really woke you up to God's purposes. What was next for you after that experience? What did the next year or two look like as you started navigating and figuring out, like, why was your life saved?
Yeah, so I went from Slippery Rock University, right, down to Clearwater Christian College, right? I went deep into pastoral studies. And then I found myself at a place where, you know, I went literally from a place where I was at Slippery Rock and I had total freedom. And then I went to this fundamental Baptist college where I had practically no freedom. I mean, curfews, I mean, there was just a huge list of basically rules. And the straw that broke the camel's back was when my dad came to visit me that first semester. And my dad, you know, always had a full beard growing up. Like, there was only once or two times in my entire life that he never had a beard. And he came to campus to see me. And none of the teachers or staff would actually look at him, because one of the things was you had to be like clean shaving. You couldn't have a beard. And my dad was like, this is crazy. Jesus had a beard. Like, this is ridiculous.
And he had to shave just to come visit you?
No, he didn't shave. He's like, I'm not shaving. I have a beard, you know. But they wouldn't even look at him or acknowledge him, right? Oh, and my dad, you know, was a super nice guy. I mean, everybody loved my dad. And so that was really what... there were so many rules. It was so fundamental. So I got a chance to see that fundamental side of Christianity, which is all rule-based, right? Rather than relationship-based, which is where it should be, you know, in my opinion. You know, rules ruin religion. And so I met a lot of cool people. I mean, no doubt about it. I met some great people. One of my friends there actually turned me on to The 7 Habits of Highly Successful People. His dad was an attorney, and his dad started a Christian law firm in Florida. And I had a lot of time to be around that family. His name is JD. And it was really cool to see what a Christian family that, you know, that does stuff together, that cares, that's wholesome, you know, what that's like. Because growing up, that wasn't the situation for me. Like, we didn't find God until I was 16. So I went from Slippery Rock, went to Clearwater, and then from Clearwater, I said, you know what, I got to get out of here. Like, I need to find another place. It didn't feel like home. And some of the kids I went to school with at Berks Christian School, which is where I graduated from high school, they went to Liberty University. It was up in Virginia. So I talked to them about it. I said, hey, are you guys like the school? Like, oh yeah, we love it. It's amazing. You should come. So I applied, and boom, that next semester I found myself at Liberty University. And again, I went into pastoral studies because I was already in pastoral studies. So I just kept going. Okay. And it was at Liberty University that I was immersed around Christians primarily. And I was immersed in, all types of different opportunities to learn God's truth and learn from scripture and learn from pastors and missionaries. I mean, people from all over the world came to speak at Liberty University. It was a really amazing experience. And then also being able to be under the mentorship of the guy who started Liberty University, which was Jerry Falwell Sr. I was there at that time before he passed away in 2008. I was there and I had opportunity to learn from him, you know, 3 times a week during what they call convocation, which is basically like a conference. Like, it's like a 1 hour conference where, you know, you worship, you sing, and then you get a word. And so it was really, I would say it's kind of like in the middle, right? So you got like Slippery Rock is, you know, off the reservation, yeah. Public freedom, like not a lot of Christians with values, secular, worldly. And then over here, you've got, you know, Clearwater Christian College, which is super fundamental, tons of rules, tons of restrictions. And then in the middle, you've got Liberty, which they had some rules, they had some boundaries, but you still had a lot of freedoms, and it was still, you feel like you could breathe a little bit. So I fell in love with Liberty, really, quite frankly, I fell in love with it. It was a much larger university as well, much larger than Clearwater Christian College. Clearwater Christian College was really a small school. Liberty actually had a great football team. They had a great baseball team. They had a great basketball team. Like Jerry Falwell would always say, if it's Christian, it should be better. Mm-hmm. And we sent, Liberty actually sent people into the profession, into the pros. And we had people that were, you know, playing football that went and did, you know, pro football. People that baseball went into pro baseball. So it was really cutting edge. And I learned a lot there. Now, it was there that God revealed his purpose to me. I was at Liberty University, 2005. At this point, I was going through Spiritual Emphasis Week. And it was there that I kind of realized my purpose. And I talk all about it in my book, The Entrepreneur Evangelist. I go into deep story about how God revealed his purpose to me. So I'm not going to go into that as in depth now. But God took me through a process of understanding my purpose and waking me up to that realization. At that time, though, I really had no clue how I was going to step into it, right? I mean, I really had no clue how I was going to step into it. I had received the inspiration of what my purpose was, the revelation or realization of it, which was to share your story and help other people share their story. But at that time, and this is 2005, I had no clue what that meant. I had thought it meant to help other people tell their testimony of how they had come to know God.
Yeah. It wasn't really like a buzzword. Story wasn't really like, there was like telling someone's story didn't mean as much in 2005 as it does in, you know, 2021 right. With all the media platforms and cameras and all that stuff.
Oh, totally. I mean, there was no Instagram. I don't even know if there's Facebook was around yet. I mean, so there was not, social media was not like it is today. Sharing your story was done usually on stages at that time. I mean, you would have a pastor or a leader or a missionary would come up and share their story in front of an audience. That was normal. Now people just pull out their phones and tell their story. Very different environment than it was at that point in time. Mm-hmm. So from that point, I was introduced to network marketing, and a buddy of mine that was working out at the gym introduced me to another guy who was just on fire about this network marketing company. And it happened to be Amway. At the time, they had changed their brand name to Quickstar because of the bad association with Amway. And so they rebranded to Quickstar. And I joined that network marketing company. And immediately, the person who brought me in said, hey, you need to read these books. And they gave me a stack full of books. One of them was The Magic Thinking Big. Another one was The Choice by Og Mandino. And then another one was Think and Grow Rich by Napoleon Hill. When I started reading Og Mandino, I was like, oh my God, where in the world has this been my entire life?
Right.
Like personal development, first of all, reading in general was something I hated because as a kid, when I was younger, I actually had to go through like special classes for comprehension because I struggled there. I struggled with reading. I struggled with reading and comprehending what I was reading. And so I really didn't like it. I really didn't want anything to do with reading. Reading was always like a chore. It was work. And I constantly pushed it off. Well, you know, fast forward, I'm in college now. I get turned on to, you know, Og Mandino. I get turned on to The Magic Thinking Big. I get turned on to Napoleon Hill. And I read The Choice in like a couple hours. I mean, I blew through it. Then I started reading more of his books, started reading The Greatest Salesman in the World. I started reading more of Og Mandino's works, and I loved it because he was telling a story, but through that story, he was giving lessons and tips and strategies on how to be successful. So that was a model of learning that I enjoyed. And man, that took me down a rabbit hole. I couldn't consume enough. And I went down this rabbit hole of really developing myself is really what it was, right? Personal development stuff. I started buying everything I could get my hands on. I started buying books, tapes. I started attending conferences. And then I read this book by Joseph Campbell, which is called The Power of the Subconscious Mind. And through that book, I realized that my actions were being dictated by how I was programmed from a kid. And that really woke me up to understanding that the choices I'm making are coming from my subconscious, not only my conscious mind, but my subconscious mind. And they're coming more from my subconscious mind and the programming that I had as a kid than the choices that I'm making today. Eventually I stumbled on, The Science of Getting Rich. And then I also stumbled on Secrets of the Millionaire Mind. And when I got into Secrets of the Millionaire Mind, I realized that there's a broke mindset and a wealthy mindset, right? Like there are two different ways of thinking. So it really, what was happening for me at the time was I was stacking all of this new knowledge. I mean, I wasn't even dating. I was not interested at the time. I was like, you know what? This is so fascinating. I wanted to be successful. I mean, I think we all have a desire to be successful, right? I really wanted to create a life of success, and I wanted to be able to provide for my future family. And so that's where I was, right? I was in this place where I was on this journey of discovery, and it was fun. It was fun for the first time in my life. And I remember thinking, why wasn't I introduced to this stuff in elementary school, or middle school, or high school? Like, I had never in my life been introduced with any of this material. And at this point I was plowing through stuff. I eventually stumbled upon Tony Robbins. Tony Robbins told his story about how he devoured like 200 personal development books. I said, well, you know what? I think if Tony did that and he's super successful, I should probably follow in his footsteps. Right?
Do you remember, was there like one revelation or like mindset shift that you remember in that season, like making that just made a huge impact?
Yeah, I would say two. So number one is Kaizen, constant improvement. You're either growing, right, or you're dying. So you're growing and moving forward, learning new things, or you're dying. You're never standing still. That was the concept of Kaizen. Constant improvement, constantly moving forward, putting one foot in front of the other and learning and applying and learning and applying, right? So that's one. That was one huge revelation at the time. And the other one was that my subconscious mind is likely running the show. So I said, okay, well, what's the next obvious solution to that? Well, I need to reprogram my subconscious mind, right? And I stumbled on this program where you would rewire your subconscious mind through binaural beats, where you would basically plug in headset and you would listen to binaural beats. And there's this program called Holosync. And the way that they promoted it was like, you can meditate like a Zen monk within minutes. Like, man, that's interesting. So that sucked me. That headline sucked me into the page. But what happened was for 3 years straight, actually, I listened to this one hour a day, every single day. And when you get into the higher levels, I think this is genius. It's like a 12-year program. So you start at like the ground floor, and then you go to the second year, and then the third year. And the third year, you can actually program in your declarations that you want to rewire your subconscious mind. Okay. So I thought that was absolutely amazing. And I did that. I actually wrote out my declarations of how I want my subconscious mind to be reprogrammed. And then I listened to that an hour a day, every single day, whether it was in the middle of the day or whether it was before bed. I always made it a point because I knew that my subconscious mind is running the show. And if I want to change that, I need to have a new input. So I need to influence my subconscious mind and rewire it, because my entire life up to that point, remember, I'm in my mid-20s at this point. Up until my mid-20s, I was being programmed by the media, by my teachers, by my pastors, by my parents, by my family. I was being programmed. And I had no clue that I was being programmed until I woke up through this realization of personal development.
Yeah. See, I mean, you're starting to get to know some of the material, some of the content from people like Tony Robbins, you know, Robert Kiyosaki. You know, this is where you start getting into like real estate and online marketing. Tell me about some of those things that you started becoming really passionate about.
Yeah. So what happened was I devoured personal development, right? Books and tapes. And then I realized, you know what? I started getting invited to events. So I went to a big Zig Ziglar event and I was like, man, this is amazing. Like 20,000 people in a stadium. Everyone's fired up after they listen to it. Like just the energy of the room was, you know, amazing. And so I started to realize that, okay, this is great. I can read by myself, or I can do that and I can start going to events with other people that are like-minded. So I started going to big events. I went to the Wealth Expo in New York, 1 year. I drove up by myself, attended it by myself. And it was amazing. I get to hear from all these different experts in the real estate game, in the investment game. And then that's when I learned about Robert Kiyosaki, Rich Dad, Poor Dad, the whole, you can create wealth through real estate. I was also at that same conference. I learned about commercial real estate. And what got me there was you don't need any of your own money. You don't need any of your own credit to buy commercial real estate. I was like, well, that's amazing. Because in residential real estate, I need my credit. I need good credit. I need money. I need some money down. Mm-hmm. They were like, the message that they were saying at the time was, you need no money of your own and you need none of your own credit. I'm like, well, this is amazing, right? Let me get into commercial real estate investing and I can make a lot more cash flow, right? So my first biggest investment into this world was commercial real estate investment workshop. It was like a 4-day workshop down in Orlando, Florida, and it was $5,000. And I remember at the time, that being a huge investment. I mean, at the time I was at Liberty University, living on student loans, and doing some personal training on the side part-time, making, you know, 10 or 15 bucks an hour. Mm-hmm. I mean, just enough to go out on the weekends. I mean, nothing, you know, I was making peanuts. So making a $5,000 investment was huge. I put it on a credit card. And that was probably the best investment I made because I was investing in myself, right? And then through that, I just kind of went deeper. I ended up going deeper in real estate. I went to that conference in Orlando. Then I came back to Liberty and I had started with a group of my friends. We started a brotherhood, which was basically a fraternity at Liberty. First ever fraternity at Liberty. We had to call it a brotherhood because you couldn't have fraternities or sororities, at Liberty. So we started a brotherhood and we started this group. And I took all my experience from Slippery Rock and what I went through there and brought it over here, to Liberty. And it was really an amazing time. And we had kids from all around the country, kids that have went through gnarly situations. A couple guys, kids were in gangs, got out of that and were at Liberty. It was an amazing time. So I recruited a few of these guys to help me find commercial real estates all around the country. And so they were like hunting for deals. And it was really an amazing time. I had these three guys, DJ, Bryant, and Alex, and they were scouring the country for properties that were underperforming where we could come in. And let's say it's performing at like 70% profitability, you know, or capacity or margins, like let's say it's 70% occupied, for example. So we said, oh, we can come in, we can fix it up, we can fill it up to 90%, and we'll make the difference on the right margins. When you're looking at properties that are 50 to 100 units, you know, taking something from 70% to 90% is a huge swing. But it's a lot of work, and a lot of people don't want to do that work, you know? And so I remember we had found properties all around the country, but we never found a deal that actually could work. And I went to a conference in Vegas that was the biggest commercial real estate conference in the country. There was 50,000 people at this conference. It was massive. And I scheduled some meetings with some brokers, some commercial brokers. And I remember sitting down with this guy. He was in his 80s. This guy was super old, but he was decked to the nine. Really great guy. Him and his wife were there. And I went to sit down with him at his booth, in this impressive booth. And I sat down with him. He said, you know, so why do you want to get into commercial real estate? I said, well, I want to create wealth, you know, and commercial real estate seems to be the best path. He's like, that's true. He goes, I've done over $1 trillion of real estate deals. Like, he's like, I've done deals with Trump. I've done deals with this person. I've done deals with that person. He's like, I've been around for a long time. I started when I was in my 20s, just to give you an idea. He goes, right now, this is like 2006. He's like, right now is a terrible time to get into commercial real estate. He's like, the market's about to crash. Now, this is 2006. 2008 right. hadn't hit yet. Most of the world hadn't realized what was coming down the pipe, right?
He knew.
So he knew. He's like, I've been through cycles. He's like, it's coming. It's going to happen in the residential market, and then the commercial market's going to take a hit. He said, if I were you, my best advice for you is to go work for a big commercial real estate company like CBRE or one of these type of firms where you can go and learn on their dime. And that was actually good advice. I didn't want to hear that advice. I didn't want a job. I didn't want to be stuck in a box.
Right.
I mean, I've always been this, entrepreneurial mind where I didn't want to be stuck in a place where I had a ceiling on me. And so when he said that, I was like, it kind of crushed my spirit a little bit. Because I didn't want to get a job. Right. But looking back, that was actually good advice. Like going and getting, having someone pay me to go learn on the street knowledge was actually good advice. And that's what he did. So he was giving me good advice. What happened from that experience was I said, okay, maybe I need to think about doing something different because I really don't want to get a job because a job is going to lead to like a $30,000 or $40,000 a year salary. Mm-hmm. At best, I might make $100,000, like at best, right? And to me, my goals were higher than that. So I was like, you know what? That's not a good path. Like, I don't see any path where that's going to make any sense for where I wanted to go. And so I said, you know what? I got to start looking for other opportunities. That's when I discovered internet marketing. And I stumbled upon this 30-day challenge. For a dollar, I could join this 30-day challenge to make my first dollar online. And I signed up for it. Okay, so I paid $1. And the way that it was designed was they would train and then you would have homework. And then you would train and then you have homework. So the idea was you'd learn and you'd implement and you'd start and you'd actually make progression on your journey and then you'd produce results. It was how the whole thing was produced. I thought it was brilliant. My first 7 days in, first of all, I came late to the party. So I was like 2 weeks late. So I had to go through 2 weeks of content right out of the gate. So I'm like watching the video, doing the work. I bought my domain name and in 7 days, I had an email that came in and said, you made a sale, !! I was like, oh my God, what's this? Right. And I made a sale. It was a $2,000 sale for $750. And that was absolutely incredible. That is the moment where it became kind of real. Like it was like a fluke. I felt like, it was a fluke. I even told my roommates at the time, I'm like, hey, I just made a sale from the internet selling stuff. And like, it was really easy. And they're like, I'll believe it when I see it. Like, let me see it in your bank account. Like, they didn't even believe me. They didn't believe it was real.
Right.
I was like, I'll show you. Wait till it shows up. I'll prove. Like, I was like, now I'm like, okay, now I'm going to prove these guys that this is real.
$750. I got an email. That's a lot for a college kid.
But you know what, Seth? I thought if I can do this every day, once a day, I just did the math. I'm like, that's $250,000 a year. Mm-hmm. I can make $250,000 a year working part-time from home. This is pretty easy. And so that led me to really going deeper.
Right.
And thinking, studying from as many people as I could on how can I reproduce this every day? Because if I can figure out how to reproduce it every day, then I can scale that. I can reproduce it 10 times a day. Now it gets exciting, right? Now I can do 2.5 million a year, right? So I figured if I could just figure out how to reproduce this effort, then life would be good.
And you took an interesting approach that a lot of people don't take in modern day kind of internet marketing, where a lot of people nowadays, they're like, cool, give me all the courses, like give me all the challenges, give me all the books, give me all this stuff. Like you had learned a lot through books and different things, but you didn't just want to do more courses. You wanted to find mentors. You wanted to find people who had done this before. What encouraged you to go down that path of like finding mentorship as your next step in this journey?
Yeah. So I think for me, In personal development, I'd bought so many books. I bought so many audio programs or audiobooks. I bought so many courses in personal development that I had this realization one day where I was like, well, I didn't get my second degree black belt in Taekwondo by watching YouTube videos.
Right.
Like that's really literally the realization I had. And I was like, I have a sensei that challenges me 3 days a week in the dojo. So I was like, I need to find somebody that's got the results I want. And then just they tell me exactly what to do and I'll just do it. You know, I was always someone who takes action and has drive to do things. So I was like, you know what? I need to find somebody that's willing to lead me on this journey. And I scoured the internet and I found this guy out of Australia who he was promoting other stuff as an affiliate. And then when I bought a product through him, he gave me a free coaching call through Skype. And I was like, I was like, okay, cool. So I did that coaching call with him through Skype and it was absolutely incredible. And then from there, I said, hey man, can you mentor me? Like, can I pay you? And he's like, well, I don't have that. Like, I don't do that. Like, that's not my thing. I'm like, okay, well, how much do I need to pay you to make it your thing? Like, I just need a couple sessions. I'm getting started. I know that to be successful, it's not going to happen by just watching random videos and buying courses. Like, it's not going to be the fastest path. I know you have the results I want because I already knew he was making multiple six figures a month and he had clients that he was charging like $6,000 to $10,000 a month. And then he also he would do affiliate product launches and he'd make, you know, $100,000 to $200,000 a month doing that. And he had a huge family over Australia, like seven kids, wife. And, he left a huge corporate career to pursue, his business online and he was loving it. So I was like, man, you have the results I want. How can I just pay you to coach me through a couple of sessions? And eventually I talked him into it. And from one call, from one strategy session with him, I invested into a campaign and I spent $500 doing the exact strategy that he shared. And I made $20,000 in sales, which equated to $10,000 in commissions. And literally it was at that moment where I was like, okay, I am done with learning from teachers who are not where I want to be. Okay. So I was in my master's degree at this point. Like I had graduated from Liberty University with a degree in marketing and almost a minor in pastoral studies. And then I went to get a master's degree in entrepreneurship because I needed money. So I was like, I'm going to keep borrowing student loans and go get my master's degree while I'm figuring this thing out. Right.
Right.
Well, at this point I'm like, okay, this is ridiculous. Like I was outsourcing my papers at this point. Like I was sending my papers to get written by people in India for like $250. I would have them writing my papers. I'm like, okay, this is ridiculous. Like I'm outsourcing my MBA now, right? Like I'm literally at that place and I'm like, well, maybe I should just finish it and just outsource the whole thing and make a cool story about it. I was like, you know what? This doesn't make any sense. I'm learning from teachers that are making less than I just made in 3 days. I made $10,000 in profit in 3 days. And I was like, you know what? My teachers aren't even making that in a quarter. So this doesn't make any sense. So I'm learning from people that aren't where I want to be. And I stopped that immediately. I stopped borrowing student loans, stopped studying, stopped taking tests, stopped writing papers, stopped all that. And I went full head first into my internet business.
This is amazing. And I think that's such an amazing story. I'm sure that some of your professors would be interested to hear their perspective on the story now, seeing where you're at. But what an ROI you got on those student loans now, looking at like all of that knowledge and those experiences you learned. It just might have been a different ROI than the school was maybe intending for. So I want to encourage anybody that's listening, watching, make sure you jump into the next episode as well, because this path continued forward. And in the next episode, we're really going to dive into, what were some of your desires? Like now that you're realizing what's possible in life, what do you want to get out of life? And talk about, building this business up to a multi-million-dollar business and then, at some point losing it all. And that's what we're going to dive into in the next episode. So thanks so much, Brian.
Absolutely. Thanks for joining me this week on Legacy Builders on the next episode. I'm going to share more about how I started building my business to do millions of dollars a year and then how I lost it all I want to share with you how I lost it all and what I did in that dark moment to pivot and move forward in a powerful way rather than go down in defeat like so many unfortunately do. If you'd like to tap into the exploding industry of self-education that is expected to grow to $1 billion a day, I'd suggest checking out launchexpertise.com. That's launchexpertise.com, where you can grab a free copy of my book, The Entrepreneur Evangelist. You can join 33 Days of Coaching, where I take you on a journey to discover your purpose, to help you launch your expertise online, scale your impact, and build your legacy. Or for those of you that like to take the absolute fastest path to launching your expertise online and scaling your impact, you can hire my team and I privately in our agency. Again, that's launchexpertise.com.